And then before Cersei and Tyrion, you got Varys and Littlefinger, and then Littlefinger like pushes Varys to get first to the table, and Viserys got a little eye roll going on. Yeah, this scene right here might be the best scene I've seen in the entire series.
Oh, you like that little cattiness?
Yeah, I like that.
You like that childishness?
Yes, sir.
Welcome back to life, to reality, to Charge It to the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Lovegood, Luna's favorite cousin, favorite mother of at least one fourth of my children. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Gingy, my love, and TJ, Justin Fields' number one fan.
No way. No way. 1-0, though.
Okay, but let me follow up with this. Raise your hand if your team won on Sunday. Oh, Ginge.
Damn.
You look so lonely over there.
Damn. Imagine getting beat by a kicker.
Yikes. Well, this week we are discussing Game of Thrones Season 3, Episode 3, Walk of Punishment, an air date of April 14th, 2013, written by David Benioff and D.B. Weiss. Directed by David Benioff, so his directorial debut on the show, and had a rating of 4.72 million.
All right. D.B. Weiss has directed one so far, right? Hasn't he?
He has not.
Okay.
Neither of them has, so.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a new name. You guys ready to get started?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's start off at River Run, where Robb Stark's stupid uncle ruins everything.
Just want to say, this is the best funeral I've ever seen.
Imagine being one of the people that are there like mourning, and this man can't hit his fucking arrow.
Even Robb could not hold it in. Like,
This is like, we talk about foreshadowing a lot. Like, him not hitting that arrow is foreshadowing. Like, this dude's a fuck up. Like, just so you know.
I mean, like, foreshadowing to what? His meeting with his nephew in the next scene where Robb tells him, you're a fuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And the Blackfish was so fucking disappointed in his arrow. Like, he was like, give me the fucking shit. He just storms off after he gets it.
The Black. Like, yeah, I know what the fuck I'm doing. I've been here before. Mm-hmm. Oh, Edmure Tully is such an idiot. And especially when you see how formidable Catelyn is versus like what a dummy Edmure is.
Yeah.
The actor that plays him is in that one Yeah, that's the show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a jerk. Yeah.
I couldn't stand him he was awful in Outlander.
Yeah, man. I hated him.
Terrible. You watched Outlander?
I watched season one and part of season two. And then something else came out, so I didn't finish it.
You didn't get to the season where all the men sat around watching the King of France shit, did you?
No, I didn't get that far.
Yeah, it was wild. I was like, is this what white people were into?
Probably.
But yes, rest in peace to Hoster Tully. Going down the river in flames. I respect the Viking funeral. I'm sorry your son is such a
bad shot.
Yeah, because that third one is when you would have heard me. Like, it would have been a no.
I would have been like, look, can we not just let this man before we let him go off? Like, we can just start this shit early.
Because, like, he was getting to a point where they weren't going to be able to get him. He was just going to be a body floating down the river. But yes, Robb and the Blackfish have to have a talk with Edmure about how he just fucked everything up because he wanted some glory. And, like, we were planning something.
Now, let me ask you, because I thought about this for the first time in watching this show. Does Robb have the right to yell at him? Like, what kind of leader has Robb been the last, 8-10 episodes? It's been kind of checked out. So do you think that Robb just like didn't give him enough information?
I think the fact that Robb didn't give him that information is the point. Like, you don't have enough clearance to make this decision.
Think Rob needed to communicate a little better.
No.
You know what I got
It was lame.
was what I got was that Rob's little circle there is just as incompetent as Tywin's was.
You know, you're right.
But he was trying to lure out the mountain, who's a mad dog without a
Which
strategic.
was weird, which is also a weird statement to call him, because we've only heard the Hound be called that.
Yeah.
Like, the Hound is the only person who's been called a dog this entire time, so.
But he's right. The Hound lacks strategy.
The mountain.
Mountain lacks strategy.
Yeah.
You're right. But Edmure is very much the child in the scene. Like, Rob is the adult between these two.
Yeah, Rob was getting in his ass.
Yeah, because you know who's not putting up with bullshit like this?
Tywin Lannister. Because we got one of those really good transitions again.
Because Tywin Lannister's got time to be fucking messy. Men
Yo.
are once
Nah,
again.
you know what's messy, and you know what's childish? Cersei and Tyrion in them damn chairs.
No,
Yo, this was
I'm talking
great.
about Tyrion one. Tyrion
Oh, for sure. Anytime you just drag the chair and make all that fucking noise, you got it, bro.
This scene starts with 1 minute and 40 seconds of no dialogue, and it tells you so much about everybody in
Yup. Yup.
every. Because Cersei's like, see how I make my own chair? Very cutesy, very demure, very mindful. And Tyrion's like, actually, I'll just sit. Like, there's actually two heads of this table.
Yeah, I'll be at the head of the table as well.
That one.
And then, as I drag my
And
chair.
then before Cersei and Tyrion, you got
Three Stooges.
Varys and Littlefinger, and then Littlefinger like pushes Varys to get to first to the table, and Viserys got a little eye roll going on. Yeah, this scene right here might be the best scene I've seen in the entire series.
Oh, you like that little cattiness.
Yeah, I
You
like that
like that
pettiness.
childishness.
Yes, sir.
And like, it's extra awesome that Tyrion's chair made so much noise. Cause like Cersei picked hers up and moved her silently, but Tyrion was like, nah, you're gonna hear this.
What's funny though is like Tyrion gave that look like I think I'm gonna pick my chair up too, and then realize I can't do that. Let me just drag this bitch.
Heavier than it looks. Okay.
Yeah, like these chairs are this is good quality. I can't let that
Yes, but we're having our small council meeting in a new chamber. Some new tables and new chairs. And we're getting a lot of new things in this scene. We might be getting a new Lord of the Vale. Well, Lord Protector, acting Lord of the
Yeah.
Vale. Littlefinger says that Lys is like
That's Cat's sister, right?
best woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I hadn't when you seen her so long, I had to remember who they were talking about.
Yeah, Tywin's, I mean, knows what he's doing. Like he says, like you give Littlefinger that, then Rob's aunt is against him.
I do like how Tywin kind of shit on Littlefinger though when he was talking about Harrenhal being a piece of shit.
I mean,
He was there, he knows.
that Varys too also took the opportunity to be like, well, if Roose Bolton's there, wouldn't that make him
Yeah.
here? So what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Like Varys, I don't want to call him a hater because he's right,
He's a
but
hater.
kind of.
But yeah, Tom is also mad that got all them spies out there and nobody knows where Jamie's at.
Nobody can find Jamie.
Nobody can find them, but not them.
It's pretty curious. Because they knew about a lot of things that you wouldn't think they would know about.
Yeah, you know about Daenerys all the way
That's what
across
I'm
the other
saying.
side of the fucking world
You
and
knew about Daenerys, but don't know where Jamie is.
can't find Jamie in your own backyard.
He's like a 2 weeks ride away from you.
Well, that's the point. That's why they're going through what they were going through so they could stay off the King's Road.
A lot of good it
It
did.
work? Tyrion, though, gets a new job because obviously Littlefinger has to go marry Lyza Arryn. Now Littlefinger gets to be the master of coin. That sounds great, especially since a few episodes ago, he didn't know how much he was paying his bodyguard. Just one person. And now you're like putting him in charge of payroll.
He finally got that appreciation he wanted.
And you get to pay for this expensive ass fucking wedding.
Yep. Figure it out, buddy.
He got it.
He got it.
Cersei and Pycelle believes in him.
Speaking of Jamie, we're en route to Harrenhal. And would you rather run up in a on a bear in the woods or a strange man? Cause shit's looking bleak for Brienne the Stallion.
Yeah, it is.
Like, first of all, she got under his skin. He, since episode one, has been trying to piss someone off enough to do something stupid. And like, she immediately got under his skin by saying, like, oh, you're not as good as I thought.
Yeah. Slow and predictable is what she said.
Nasty work.
Oh yeah. She was gloating.
And he took that personally. He's like, well, I have been sitting in my own excrement for a year. So
yeah. I ain't had no practice. I ain't warm up. I ain't stretch.
Bingo. I'm shackled.
Yeah.
And he's saying all of this because he's like doubting whether he could have beaten her when he was good. Because like, why are you mad? Like, why are you telling me that this is like, I know all this and I'm still saying this about you?
I think he likes her.
Do you?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think he's getting definitely a soft spot.
It happens at the end of the scene. Cause like when he starts telling her what's going to happen to her, it starts off as like taunting. And then it turns into like a genuine warning of concern. Like, like, please don't get yourself hurt. Oh, Brienne.
Yeah, that was kind of a really good conversation they had about that.
It was.
Like, and then she was like, what would you do? He was like, I'd rather die.
We'll come back to it in the quote section. Don't you worry. Because, yes. No, you know what? Yes. I would rather be dead. I would rather be dead. Just murder me. Please.
Just kill me. I'm pretty good at that shit.
I pick the bear. Do you think Brienne would pick the bear, James?
Okay. Is she in her current position where she's chained up or before she gets chained up?
She doesn't have her sword. She's just in the woods. Do you think she'd rather with a bear or a man?
I think one man she might be okay, but with more than one, maybe the bear.
Okay, maybe the bear. Also, the bear and the maiden fair is like a very important song. Like it's a big song in book three.
There you go, James. Told you. Circle back.
And in book three, the first time that you hear it is during that brunch with Sansa and Elena.
Okay.
When Elena's asking Sansa and she's so nervous, Elena has the singer sing it. And she's like, sing it loudly so that they can't hear them. And I'm like, isn't that very interesting that like, as they're asking Sansa about this monster, they're singing The Bear and the Maiden Fair. And then in the lyrics of The Bear and the Maiden Fair, which, by the way, is just a jaunty little tune about how a Mormont raped somebody because, like, the bear. There's a line that says, I called a knight, but you're a bear. So just keep in mind that, like, all these women have their bears. Tywin, sometimes your dad is your first bear.
Yeah.
This your dad? This episode will be brought to you by Stella Rosa. Hella Rosa.
That's what's in the cup.
That is what is in this cup. It is delicious. Anyway, anything else to add?
Brought to you by water as well. Water. Clear. Drink it.
Falls from the sky.
The easiest thing to get.
Oh. Speaking of bears, Arya's bear is the Hound. Turns out we've been to this inn before.
We have.
Do you believe it? We've been here.
We're at a familiar place.
And the Brotherhood is packing up to leave. Arya has to say a tearful goodbye to our boy Hot Pie. Ginge.
Y'all's boy.
He's like, thank God.
Is this done the last with him. Time? Is this the last time? Are we done with them?
Hot Pie bakes her some bread in the shape of a wolf.
Kinda.
Sort of. Listen.
He did his best.
Good attempt.
Hey, I'm sure when he put the dough out, it looked like excellent, but once it rose, you know, then it misshaped.
Yeah.
I mean, baking.
You know, they probably don't have molds and stuff, so he had a free hand that stuff.
Yeah. For freehand, better than what I could have done.
Yes. Impressive. Not you just said something complimentary about Hot Pie.
Hey, man, a man can cook. Let him cook.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll take it. Because I love Hot Pie. I love Hot Pie. I also love bread. So all my favorite things all together. But Thoros is right, because like they were supposed to get away. They're obviously not getting away now because these woods aren't safe for Ned Stark's daughter. It's not safe out here.
It's not.
Nope. But then nobody knew I was Ned Stark's daughter until this big, stupid, dumb dummy came and told you. I was fine.
Yeah, I could still pass without anybody knowing that I'm Ned Stark's daughter.
Right. It's not like anybody's got my Instagram account that they can just pull up and compare the pictures.
At the time, they don't even realize that she's a girl.
Yep. But yeah, she shows that hate for the Hound for sure. And then that goodbye between Hot Pie and Gendry, that was kind of awkward.
It's like he wanted to go in for the hug, but then was like, I don't really want to hug this dude.
That was a little awkward.
But most important here is that the bread is good. The bread was good.
Boy's got a future.
Didn't look just like a wolf, but he's on the way.
It's his first day.
This might be a Michelin star inn by the time we come back to it, if we do. Who knows? Well, we can go to River Run with Robb Stark's queens, the Dowager and the consort. First cat staring at the river that her dad is probably still burning on. But she's having a lot of mother moments.
She really is.
A lot of regretful mother moments.
I feel for her.
Yeah, and this scene, like, they really make it to where, like, you think about just everybody that she's lost so far. Like, really, what does she have? She has Rob. That's it.
Yeah. Barely.
Yeah, barely. Like, she's kind of lost him in terms of the way he feels about her now, too.
But we do find out that, like, Rob thinks the boys might still be alive.
Yeah. And I think the Blackfish is, like, really good for giving her that hope, too. Like, well, Rob thinks they're still alive.
Yeah.
Like, you can't make him think any different either. Like, because it's important for him to know that as well.
But she says, like, I'll never see him again. Because she's like, even if they are alive, like, we're at war. What's the odds I go home? I'm a prisoner right now. I committed treason. What's the crime for treason?
Death.
Oh. And at this point, where is home?
Because Winterfell is a smoking pile of rubble. Harrenhal North.
Yep.
But the Blackfish says something in this scene that I thought was just like really good. Like, as a storyteller, like just like for storytelling in general, when he said it often comforts me to think that even in war's darkest days, in most places in the world, absolutely nothing is happening. Were you going to quote that?
No.
Okay, because you're nodding. Because, like,
but that is a good quote.
Yeah, because that's how you get a story. Rob's queen consort, however, is mending lion's paws. And, Gingy, remember this face. You'll see it again, but he will not be Martin Lannister.
He'll be another little boy.
Be a Lannister.
He'll be a Lannister.
Oh my gosh.
You'll see him again.
An important Lannister.
Just you wait. But this is a very cute scene.
Yeah, it's cute.
It's very adorable. It seems like a throwaway in this because, like, we know she's a nurse. But I guess, like, hey, she's also good with kids. He made a great decision.
Yeah. Or she's being extra nice to a Lannister, and that's a bad decision.
Ginge.
We've seen her treat the Lannister men, though.
Yeah, no, and the men already hate her for it, and now she's doing it some more.
I would also like to remind you that there was that one time that he was like, she was on the battlefield, like writing, and he came up to her and she was like, oh, I'm writing a letter to the Lannisters.
Yeah.
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 Things to think about. A lot of things are being brought up here. But her husband doesn't eat children.
Only
when
a full moon.
When it's not a full moon.
Yeah. Only done full moon.
Yeah. I know that's right, Remus Lupin. Okay. Done.
Yo.
Party. All right, you guys, you ready? Climb the wall. Climb the wall. Climb. So, John's going to.
That's what we're doing.
Super cool and fun. Hey. But they get to the Fist of the First Men. Do Mance and his
party. And there's no man.
Not a man in sight. Just a bunch of dead horses in a weird pattern.
Yep. They should have put a disclaimer at the beginning of the episode. No horses were harmed in the making of this episode.
Maybe horses were harmed. And that's why they
did. Gotta look real. Otherwise, in 11 years, somebody will watch it and be like, those horses looked fake on the podcast.
True.
But yeah, they're gonna climb the wall. What do you think about this? Because you did say, like, when I brought up that Mance had climbed the wall to go to Winterfell, you were like, he climbed that?
That's a high-ass wall.
And I mean, he's saying it like it's so fucking casual, though. He's just like, yeah, we're just going to climb this wall. Like, it's not a 700-foot tall task.
Like, they do it every day. I mean, it's like, yeah, just go climb the wall.
John's face kind of was like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
Because John knows what the wall looks like.
From the top of the wall.
Are we going to climb what now?
We're going to climb the wall.
And we're going to get the biggest fire ever.
Ever. I'm excited for that.
Oh,
I like fire.
And then he lights a match, and that's it. See a little trickle of smoke.
Well,
it's interesting. What's John gonna do when they actually do climb the wall and run into the crows?
His brothers.
That is the question.
UTNA. Well, speaking of his brothers, though, they have arrived back at Craster's Keep.
And somehow Ghost is there, alive.
Ghost is made.
Well fed, healthy.
Well, I mean, he's a wolf. Like, he's just got to find a rabbit.
Not true, but
I'm pretty sure there's nothing out wolf. There. In the... They might need a little more than a rabbit.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of animal. I ain't seen the first animal, to be honest.
But the point is, he's a wolf and not a dog. So, like,
he
needs humans to feed him.
I don't know. He's domesticated.
Not that domesticated. He killed that rabbit when they were there. And he's been wandering around in the wilderness and he's fine. But you know who's not? Gilly. She's giving birth.
Sam's woman.
Sam's woman. And we're back at weird ass Craster's Keep.
Speaking of,
yo, did he gain weight? Damn. That man looked fatter than in the other episode.
I wasn't paying attention that close, though. Maybe
you're right.
Yeah, he looked like he gained a little bit of weight.
Yeah, Crass.
He's been eating people. He told them they should have ate Sam, so probably been chewing on some human flesh.
And poor Sam, because like,
oh yeah, Sam about to be a stepdaddy.
Oh, it's a boy.
He gonna take him.
We know what happens to the boys.
Exactly. Sam gonna take him.
But here's what I don't understand.
She looked over at him. Oh yeah. Sam done. I'm taking that baby and getting out.
The dad who stepped up.
Right.
But like when they first get there and Craster's not gonna let them in. And then like he touches his sword, like, yeah. Why don't you just kill him? Like what's stopping you? You know what's beyond this. Like, you know what's beyond this. Why are you putting up with this shit? Kill him.
Right.
What a monster. What a bear. Sam's bear. Because like he fully just treats Sam like I love Sam.
Sam's an easy target for him though. So
it's because John wasn't there.
Yeah, John was not there. Because or else he would have been going in on John.
Yeah.
I also want to point out the brother that we meet in this scene that Craster says a pig has more value to him than because like the camera focuses on this guy like a lot.
Well, yeah. You're talking about like the dark haired guy, right? With like the kind of bowl cut.
Yeah.
Skinny dude that's in like every movie and always plays an eccentric character.
Yeah.
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 Don't know if you caught it. He's important.
Remember I figured. That. he's a pretty, like, the actor's been in a lot of stuff. So, like, I'm sitting there like.
Do we know what his name is? Like,
I
actor-wise?
Have no idea what his name is. I just know him and his best character is what he did in Pacific Rim.
Vern Gorman.
Him and Charlie Day going back and forth.
By the way, TJ, you keep talking about like your like companion series with the one-off episodes. Like, here's your one-off episode. Where the fuck's Ghost been?
Yeah, right. Let's just get a ghost. Let's get a whole ghost series. The Adventures of Ghost.
Like padding around, like eating like stray animal, like animals in the wild, and like going.
The adventures of Ghost and his horrible owner that can't keep up with them. Damn it, John. Like, you just leave this dog.
Well, let's go to Dragonstone and discuss Stannis Baratheon's anxious attachment style. Because he's really got some mommy issues that he needs.
Very much so. Holy fuck.
Oh, bro, my God. Are you like,
he
I'm
done
not
trying to be king.
Abandon you. You weirdo.
That man is hooked.
He is. Unfortunately, okay. So I will say that, like, when y'all brought up the thing about, like, how come she doesn't just make more of these demons? And I'm like, she has to give birth every time she does that. Like, that's crazy. That's going to take a physical toll. Like, you can't just give birth to, like, 10,000 demons, right? Turns out Stannis is the problem. He's shooting blanks. There were probably supposed to be a wealth of demons and all the one.
It couldn't get it done.
Fire
you.
Is not burning very well.
Yeah, you're not. You don't have strength. My pussy would kill you. Literally.
Yeah. I could use it.
So who do you think she's going to find?
That's a good question.
So she's looking for somebody with king's blood.
Yeah, because his fires burn low.
But she also said that there's more people that have his blood.
Correct.
So it's got to be a family member.
It's his blood, correct. But like his blood, yeah. Baratheon blood.
If she gonna go find one of them bastards, Rob's bastards. I want to say Gendry, but like, do we actually know? Like, does she know that Gendry is a bastard?
Let's think about it here. In terms of the show, he's the only one we know so far. So,
well, I mean,
Joffrey did have a bunch of them killed too. So yeah, he would.
We knew a bunch of other ones, but they were all murdered.
We didn't really know him though. Let's be real.
He just killed. They just killed a bunch of dark-headed kids.
We just saw a scene with them just killing a bunch of kids.
Well, I mean, like, all magic comes with a price. Like, if you want to win this war, and we're gonna have to do it by magic because you're, you know, not fertile. You're not a virile man. I gotta do something.
But this episode did kind of like bring us back to where we are at in season two. Like, we're kind of back in war. Like, it gets mentioned a lot. Where in the last couple episodes, it's kind of been like, you kind of forget we're in the war of the five kings. And Stannis reminds us that it is indeed three kings
left.
Yep.
For now.
Yep. Because he said he wants Rob dead. And then, of course, we know he wants to kill Joffrey, so.
But will he?
Nope.
We can only hope.
TNI.
Why do we want to hope that he wins?
I just hope he kills Joffrey. Somebody's got to kill Joffrey, right?
Joffrey's going to get himself killed.
Somebody's got to kill that little bastard.
On that hunt. We about to have the same, thing with Rob.
Wouldn't that be a fucking full circle moment?
Put the arrow through the head of the boar that killed his father.
Look, Joffrey's so fucking stupid. Like, he might shoot at a boar, hit a tree, and the arrow ricochet back and take his fucking head off.
Speaking of war in Astapor, men need to stay in men's business. Not in my fucking business. Don't correct me. Do you know who the fuck I am? Now. TJ, I will say there's like a little foreshadowing in this scene.
Okay.
To something that happens later, and I'll get back to it when we get to it.
Don't forget.
When we get to the episode. Oh, don't worry. Extensive notes. But yeah, Danny is on the Walk of Punishment, where a bunch of slaves are hung up on the walls for minor infractions. Slavery's brutal. Who knew? Not anybody who goes to school in Florida. But Danny refuses to win this war with the blood of the innocent, and Barristan and Jorah make a good point that, like, who the fuck do you think dies in war? Not y'all.
Yeah, I think Jorah's getting a little jealous that Barristan's over here giving some knowledge.
Mm. He is. He's got competition now for her lead advisor.
Yeah, she's getting counsel from both of them.
I think it's always good to have two different opposing people give you advice.
Unless you're in love with the person giving advice to, then it becomes a problem. Then you see it as a triangle. It's one too many.
Triangle. But Barristan also says in this scene that Rhaegar's the finest man he ever knew, which would contradict with what we know about Rhaegar, which is that he stole Lyanna Stark and raped her, and that's why we had a war.
Yeah, this whole war started.
But Barristan said that man is the best man he ever knew. Interesting, isn't it?
That's very interesting.
Who's the bear? Questions. Huh.
Bear? Barristan?
Hey, we pieced it together.
But the maiden fair takes the bear and Barristan to Krasnus to negotiate for all 8,000 unsullied and the boys in training. And Miss Sandy has to clean up the misogyny a lot, a lot. And Danny offers them a dragon.
I was with Jorah and Barrison on this. Like, absolutely not. And the biggest one? Absolutely not.
Why are you correcting me in front of company? Your fucking place. I didn't ask you.
Yeah, right?
They're my dragons. Do you lay on burning fire or did I?
No, bro.
It's crazy. It's crazy that Krasnus thinks that 8,000 Unsullied is worth the only three dragons in the whole entire fucking world. Like, the worst negotiator ever. He's like, hey, you can have my entire bench for your three best players.
Right.
What a shit.
No, though, like, what we know about the Unsullied, that's a starting five. Like, that's Team USA.
Not for a dragon.
That's the dream team.
Yeah.
But this is like a very tense negotiation because, like, it doesn't seem very tense until, like, she says done and then he says done. And then you get that change in the music cue when you're like, oh shit, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
I don't think she's really going to get him a dragon.
You don't think he's going to get a dragon?
Nope. She's going to load up all them slaves, all the Unsullied onto some ships, and then just wreak havoc on all of Astapor. Because she didn't have to take the interpreter. She could have left her.
Masande, yes, she took Masande. And Masande tells us, finally, what Valar Morghulis means. Well, Danny tells us what Valar Morghulis means. All men must die.
We'll come back to that in the quote section too, by the way.
Okay, cool. We can go to King's Landing where Tyrion gets an hour of training before they throw him on a register.
Legitimately a register.
Because, like, where's he getting this money from? Oh, he's borrowing tens of millions of dollars.
From the Iron Bank.
But before we get there.
Yo.
Before we get there, let's just talk about Tyrion and Littlefinger for a second. Because there are some glances that Littlefinger has shot to Tyrion in this scene. And then there was that look that he gave Roz when she left the room, too. So, like, Littlefinger is always up to something. Like, there's something going on, but he does know that, like, Tyrion only fucked Roz the one time.
Well, I kind of got the thing that he was hinting at that he knows about Shay.
Okay.
He was pressing.
Yeah. That's what I got from
him. He was kind of pressing for it. Like, just in the things he was saying about Roz, like, why'd you do that for Roz? Like,
yeah.
Thank you for saving her.
Yeah. Fucking Littlefinger. Littlefinger also points out that Tyrion owes a great debt to the man who saved his life. Tyrion is a Lannister. And Lannisters always pay their debts.
Yo, that man paid his debt tenfold.
Audrey.
Does it count, though? That he paid them since the whores did not take the money.
Yeah, they ain't about the money. He paid Pod. They ain't take the money. That's on them. Pod got paid.
That's what I'm saying, is Pod came back with that money and laid it down. And Tyrion's like, this is more than I pay you in a year. He's like, you don't pay him. Then it's way more. Pod didn't just keep the money. He came in and laid the money down as a subtle flex.
Yeah, Pod lay something down.
Pod might be my new favorite character. You know?
Yeah, Pod lay something down. Boy, oh boy.
Pod, the stroke god pain. I love
it. Yeah, we had to get some drinks and talk about it.
He is the real 69 god.
Not one, not two, all three whores said, no, 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 I don't need your money.
Yeah, this shit.
Most men can't satisfy one woman, and he got three at the same time.
As a virgin. Knocking them down.
I don't know if
Go pod.
I don't know if either of you has ever seen Revenge of the Nerds, but there's
a long time ago.
Yeah, there's a scene where like the main nerd, Robert Carradine, like goes down on like the sorority queen or whatever that he's got the big crush on, but like he's pretending to be her boyfriend. So yes, it's very problematic. But anyway, he comes up and she's like, "Oh my God, it's you!" And he was like, "Yeah, because jocks always think about sports, and all nerds think about is sex."
Facts, though.
Anyway, Pod's real good at what he does. The kingdom is in debt, completely in debt, and Littlefinger is off to the Vale to get married. This should go well. Everything should go well. They're giving.
Oh yeah, it's all gonna work out.
Yeah, they're putting in charge of the treasury somebody who's very good at spending his father's money. So,
yeah, but like I said before, Tyrion has matured since he became Hand of the King and has grown up, and I think he'll actually be decent.
Tyrion's going to be decent at any position that they give him, like, because he wants to do a good job.
He'll figure it out.
Yeah, like, he's not gonna, like, we haven't seen him half-ass anything that he's done so far. Like, he wants to do a good job.
Yeah, he does. And he also knows he's being set up, so there's his incentive to do a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Because if he fails, then it's more reason to get him out of here.
Here the fuck we go.
Let's put you in a shitty situation, because we know it's a shitty situation, so.
Retail. All right. You guys ready to go to the north now?
Yeah, let's go to the north. Let's go see James's boy.
Well, in the north, James's fucking fave is set free by Yara's man. It was pretty brutal watching him try to get down off of that rack, like watching him trying to get out there. Ginger, I'm sure you enjoyed every second of it.
I enjoyed every second of the scene until they caught him.
They caught him? Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, he's running. He's in the woods. So do you think Theon would pick the bear?
Theon would definitely pick the bear because he himself is the man.
Yeah, so this is rough. Like, it looks like he's about to get away. Like, that hit. Like, especially when I know it's coming, like, I still brace for it because it's rough.
It is. I love the audio. Like, the audio and the ringing. I wish they would have let it go further along, like, in that like same kind of audio.
Like, tone. While they're picking him up, he's...
Yeah. Yeah. But...
But, yeah. So, they're gonna do what men do. And they're stopped. They're stopped.
What do you think is going on here, James?
What do you mean? The man that got about to get raped.
Well, yeah, he's about to get raped. But then, why do we keep seeing this same kid?
His sister.
Yeah, she sent him.
She sent him.
Okay, again, why do we keep seeing this same kid?
He just had to save Theon. He just had to think.
We're going to talk about
it. The real question is, why didn't he just go with Theon the whole way to begin with?
Correct. That's what I'm kind of trying to hint at a little bit. Like, this kid is like coming and going. We're letting him go, but I'm going to stay behind. But somehow or another, I'm behind you, right behind you. Not very far at all. I'm close enough to stop you from getting raped.
You guys have done a lot of riding. Like, this was a lot of just like...
Yeah, like...
Yeah, about a full day's worth ride.
Yeah, we're in the woods.
But I told you to go far to get away. You get there, nobody's there. Also, but yeah, I'm still behind.
He also told him to follow the east sunrise, and the boy, when it was like, lost his way when the sun was finally above him. Like, bro, you still go east.
Just keep going.
Just go.
Well, I guess Theon will be back safe in the Iron Islands next week. Womp womp. Ginge. So sorry. Was this like, were you satisfied for a little? Like,
Until they were about to rape him, because I really don't.
that's where, yeah, that's my trigger point too. I get
Yeah.
triggered every time. I'm like, can't do it.
Like, they could have, like, cut his whole damn foot off, and I'd been okay with that. But, you're gonna rape him. I'm like, bro, chill out, man.
Well, speaking of things that are triggering, Brienne would definitely, absolutely, positively pick the fucking bear.
Yeah, in this scene, the
Bear.
bear is being picked.
So,
Jamie, though.
yes.
The goat
Let's talk about
comes through.
the man that Jamie is. So, like, here's a book tidbit. Let's talk about how Jamie ended up in the Kingsguard. Because, like, Jaime is Tywin's heir. Jaime is the heir to Casterly Rock. So, Tywin had taken Cersei to King's Landing with him while he was the Hound, or the Hand. And Jaime was supposed to marry Lyza Arryn. He went to King's
Oh
Landing.
God. And he saw her and he was like, fuck this, I'm going to the Kingsguard. That's what happened.
Not exactly what happened, but something close. So, he went to King's Landing. Him and Cersei fucked, and Cersei convinced him to join the Kingsguard so that he could be close to her in the capital. So he's a dummy, so he did it. But Tywin was so pissed that Aerys knighted him and named him to the Kingsguard that Tywin left and took Cersei with him. So Jaime became like Jaime went into the Kingsguard for essentially fucking nothing. Like, he did not believe in this shit. He did this shit for Cersei. And so, like, he had a.
Which has been his theme throughout the
He
series.
has what he does for Cersei, but then it's like he's got a problem with Ned and his honor. He gave John that speech about oaths and like vows and stuff. And like, he doesn't know what to do with Brienne because Brienne is like determined to keep this oath she made to Catelyn. And I think, like, in this moment, Jamie's like got his opportunity to really be a knight, to like really be a white cloak. And like,
Didn't we call him before like the most honorable, dishonorable
yeah.
person?
Yeah. And I mean, like, and it's like he's like, he finally gets this opportunity and it costs him everything. Every like the first like truly noble knightly thing you do. Ginge, what did you think of this whole sequence?
Well, at first I was like, when Jamie was talking about how his Brienne's dad would want him, and I was like, all right, that's probably true. That's true. So he helped her, and then he started talking about his own dad, and I'm like, bro, they already told you when they captured you, is your dad gonna give me a new head? Like, you should have known that you sweet talking them is not gonna do. And then him saying, oh, would you like some food? And then Jamie's like, yeah, I'd like some food. Like, bro, use your head, man.
He really thought it was gonna work.
Yeah, he should have known it was a setup.
Yeah. I just want to say that is a nice knife.
No.
Then they cut his hand off, and I was like, holy crap, what an ending.
It is. It is.
It's very unexpected.
Yeah, because the way that this is like the very last line in this chapter, like the very last thing is, and Jamie screamed. Because like when they first put him down there, he was like, he said like he told himself he wasn't gonna scream. He screamed.
Yeah, he did.
Like
Oh,
that's
so
what I
he just like that witch that said she wasn't gonna scream
Yeah,
when she
I'm
got
gonna scream.
burned and then screamed.
Whoopsie doozles, bet you will, girl.
And that was his right hand they cut off. Is he right hand dominant? I didn't pay attention to his sword fights.
Yes. Yes. That man, that is his sword hand. There's a point, also where Brienne realizes what Jamie did for her. Like, she realizes like that Jamie stopped this. And I just want to bring this up because going forward, I have discussed with my therapist how, like, absolutely, like, if there's anything that's going to make me forget that I heard a man say he fucks his sister, it's him like getting his hand cut off because he saved me from being viciously assaulted.
Okay.
And my, like, and I'll have you know, my therapist said, yeah, especially, spoiler alert, when she finds out he's fine.
So your therapist watches Game of Thrones.
She does. So when I bring up like Sansa is me, I am Sansa, she's like, she sees it. Because she knows. So yeah, I love it. All I talk to her about is TV, honestly. Insurance is paying for it. We're talking about The Sopranos and Sex in the City.
Speaking of Sopranos, I have to watch that fucking documentary. I'm all in.
I love it for you. I'm gonna have
I'm excited.
To watch it like at least one more time, but this is not a Sopranos rewatch podcast.
But it can be.
Nope.
It's a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast, and that was Game of Thrones season 3, episode 3, Walk of Punishment. Who do we have to pour out for, TJ?
I hope y'all got somebody because I got nobody.
I guess we can pour out for Hoster Tully.
Yeah, him.
Pour out for Edmure Tully's manhood. His sense of self.
Stannis' manhood.
In Jamie's hand.
And now for the quote segment. Stick it with the pointy end.
I'll go first.
Wait a minute. How many do you have?
It's just a few, like 2 or 3.
Okay. Ging, how many do you have?
1, 2, 3.
All right. You can go first. I'll go last because I have like
okay.
5 million and I still have to whittle mine down.
All right. I'll just do 2. I got 2.
No. Do 3, please. I have to cut mine down.
Okay.
I'll add on to yours if you have one that I have.
So my first one is, I'm pretty sure it was Brianna says it, talking to Jamie. She says, maybe people just love to praise over a famous name. Is that one of yours?
Thank you.
You're welcome. My next one is, Daenerys says, the blood of her enemies, not the blood of the innocent. And my last one is when that northern guy looks up at the kid and says, you little bastard.
All right. Ging, I see the gears turning. I see the gears turning. And just you wait until it's my turn. Your turn.
All right, so my first one is from Jorah when he's talking to Barrison and Danny, and he says, there's a beast in every man, and it stirs when you put a sword in his hands.
That's a bar.
And then this one is from Danny. We're in the translator where they translate Valar Morghulis, all men must die, and then, but we are not men.
I was going to say that, but I left it out.
That, for me, is like a callback to Lord of the Rings, because in Return of the King, one of the enemies is like, no man can kill me. And then she's like, well, I am no man, and kills him. Spoiler alert for those who ain't seen it.
I haven't seen it. I'll get around to it one day.
And then the last one is from Bronn when him and Tyrion are walking away from Pod, leaving him with the horse, and it says, pace yourself, lad.
And boy, did he. He listened.
Buddy, had to give him some tips and tricks.
He was all ears.
All right, I love it. So listen, mine are all foreshadowing. Foreshadowing. Foreshadowing.
I love the foreshadow.
So I'm gonna just run some down. Ready? All right. Well,
Okay.
okay. So when Tyrion says I'm quite good at spending money, but a lifetime of outrageous wealth hasn't taught me much about managing it. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, Tisha, you can. Okay. This one is not foreshadowing. This one is just truth, and I have to say it. If I was a woman, I'd make them kill me. But I'm not, thank the gods. Well, yes. Yes, that, because I'd rather be dead. Anyways, hot pie. Don't get stabbed.
That's good advice for anybody, by the way. Just don't get stabbed. All don't right. get stabbed.
So this is a real good one. TJ, I want you to think like a little extra deeper about this one, okay?
Like, all right.
As we continue watching, all right? I got no fear of what's out there. When the white cold comes, your swords and cloaks and bloody fires won't help you. The only ones left will be those who are right with the gods, the real gods. So just keep that in mind.
Okay.
Stannis. I'm not so easily killed. Men have been trying for years. And then Rhaegar fought valiantly, Rhaegar fought nobly, and Rhaegar died. And then at the end, you're a long way from home and winter is coming. So, yeah, just some things to think about going forward.
So blind rankings.
You're stroking your chin. I love it. Yes. And now
blind
for
rankings.
Blind rankings. Now I'll remind you that 4 is 302.
Yeah.
And 9 is 301. Where are we putting Walk of Punishment?
Is it better than 302?
No. It is better than 301.
Better than 301. Okay. So you think there's still a real stinker coming. Okay, cool.
I'm gonna put this one probably a little high. I'm gonna put it at 6.
Okay.
For two reasons.
Okay.
The small council meeting scene and Pod throwing it down.
And the ending.
Yeah.
And the ending. The ending was like,
was
pretty wild. Yeah.
Yeah, you get to see the stump. Just like severed bone and veins and tend. Ew.
Yeah, they.
Yeah, because I do know some spoilers, but I did not know that at all. Like, had no clue that was going to happen.
And just wait, because that is not even the thing that I am very paranoid about you finding out about. I'm stressed, actually. Every time you post something in the group chat from X, I'm like, I hope you're just looking at this and you keep going and like you don't look at the comments.
Oh, I don't ever go in the comments.
Yeah.
Thank God.
You're gonna have to start scrolling real fast.
That's what I've been doing. Like, I seen something, I'm
Thank
like,
God.
Ooh.
But we're out of the.
You're gonna have to like figure out there's a way that you can block Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that too.
But we're out of the like.
But yeah, it was like anniversary.
Yeah,
so.
We're out of anniversary range now.
Yeah.
But no. So.
But there is some dude that shows up on my feed that is doing like a. He's watching it for the first time too. And he's been like throwing stuff out. And I'm like, I'm glad I'm ahead of you. I don't even know who this person is or why he's showing up on my feed. But he's literally there every day.
You're gonna have to block him. Okay, well, I guess that is going to do it for this episode of Charge It to the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. On behalf of Gingy the Pyromaniac and TJ, I am Lauren Lovegood, and we will see you next time. and now our watch is ended.